the throne room, and stinging rain fell from the ceiling in a sheet. Rorik's leathery skin hissed and blistered under the drops, more red draining from his health vial. He spun around just in time to see Ponerboner OG's rose mace bash in the head of the level 3 changeling. The infernal creature's head snapped to the side, a substantial portion of his face caving in from the impact. The hit, plus the deadly rain, was too much for the scrawny, pot-bellied creature. It did a limp pirouette before flopping to the floor, dead, dual trails of blood leaking from its cloudy eyes. Rorik ripped the initiate's spellbook from his inventory and began writing desperately in one of the two level 1 slots he'd left empty just in case. A writ to dispel magic almost certainly wouldn't work on a level 22's toxic rain, so he didn't even bother trying. Creativity and speed were in order now. He cast the spell the second it was inscribed. All infernal creatures within a 15-foot radius are impervious to rain. A mist of splatter appeared a hair's breadth above the flesh of his arm, the visible manifestation of the rain shield splashing the toxic deluge harmlessly away. The same hazy mist of rebounding droplets covered Kaz and the level 5 Thurser. In the moment of calm, Rorik reached into his inventory again and bolted down a magenta potion, refilling 25 points of his health. Thanks to the spectral hands, the level 5 Thurser had finished off Gazebo Goatee, but now he was facing the Necro Berserker, and the Thurser was woefully outclassed. The Necro Berserker was massive and clad in blocky, glowing armor built from white bone, etched with golden runes of power. She carried a formidable shield crafted to look like a giant skull in one hand, and a curling whip sword called an Urumus in the other. With a scream of challenge, the Necro whirled and whipped her many-bladed Urumus at the beefy troll, driving him back and away from Kaz, who was having his own problems. Kaz had finished off both the muscle-bound Olm and the green-robed elf. Their bodies littered the floor at the center of the toxic downpour, but his movement bonus had worn off. Another Olm, this one slim and sinuous, wreathed in black smoke, darted in and out of Kaz's guard, raking a handful of hooked metal claws across Kaz's face, throat, and sides, any bit of exposed flesh, too fast for Kaz to keep up. As Rorik watched, Ponerboner OG leveled the head of his mace at the Olm and shouted some arcane spell in that strange language he'd used earlier. The toxic rain finally cut off, but rings of green light appeared around the Olm, and the smoke coming off the sinuous creature's leathers turned a sickly emerald. The Olm darted in again, striking out with the metal claws, and Kaz's health bar flashed cancerous green. He'd been poisoned. Rorik took aim and cast his level 1 ball lightning spell at the Olm. With Azabek's blessing, it did half again as much damage as Rorik's regular ball lightning would, and the knockback was all but guaranteed. The crackling sphere of raw elemental force slammed into the Olm's chest like a warhammer of elemental force, stealing away a good chunk of his health bar and knocking him backward a step. An agonizing roar sounded across the room as the level 5 Thurser died, his head falling away from blocky shoulders, decapitated. Lovely, Rorik thought with a grimace. The Necro-Berserker spun away from the troll's still-falling corpse and fixed her attention firmly on Kaz. Kaz, behind you! Rorik pulled his rapier free of his inventory and touched the maple wand to his own chest as he ran at the sinuous, poison-enhanced Olm. 45% of all damage done to target rebounds to the opponent for 45 seconds. Like the rest of the spells Rorik had inscribed beforehand, Azabek's blessing had increased the level 1 rebound spell's power by half. The Olm, none the wiser, attacked with those metal claws, taking not only 45% of the damage he'd intended to deal to Rorik, but also 45% of the poison damage the green smoke was doing. Rather than attempt to block the Olm's slashes, Rorik pressed inside the creature's guard in a suicidal-looking series of descending cuts, mandrito and reverso fendentes, that opened up oozing vertical wounds down the Olm's face, chest, and arms. The play worked. Along with the damage the Olm was doing to himself by attacking Rorik, the rapier wounds were stealing away massive chunks of the Olm's health. In a final frustrated attempt to kill, the Olm lunged at Rorik, slashing upward with the metal claws as if to eviscerate him. Rorik sidestepped the impassioned attack easily, knocking the claws aside and then running the Ohm through, Ripido. The Ohm's poisoned health bar flashed critical and he stumbled, then dropped to the floor dead in a heap of smoke and tail. Already downing a modest health potion, Rorik scanned the room for the next threat. Kaz was holding his own, his hooked swords flashing and clashing with the necro-berserker's glinting many-bladed Urumis. As Rorik gulped a second magenta concoction, the stone floor quaked and thunder crashed through the throne room. Snarled brambles erupted from underfoot, ensnaring Rorik and Kaz. The thorn-covered vines ripped away a quarter of Rorik's health, dropping him back down to half a vial. As he searched for the high combat cleric, what felt like a boulder crashed into the side of Rorik's head, nearly ripping off his ear. Without the brambles holding him in place, Rorik might have gone flipping end over end across the room. Instead, he slammed to the floor, less than a tenth of his health remaining. The rapier rattled across the stone as it rolled out of reach. White pain sparks squirmed and danced in front of his eyes. You have been temporarily dazed. Dexterity decreased by 50% for 22 seconds. Poner Boner OG stood over him, grinning. Any last words, Jism Pit? Chapter 30, Showdown.
Yes,
Rorik said, glancing at the shadowy distortion on the ceiling.
Watch yourself, mate.
Poner Boner OG snorted and rolled his eyes at Rorik.
You must be fucking brain dead if you think I'll fall for...
6.5 feet of fat-padded elite stone salamander crashed down on top of his head. The gloating high combat cleric crumbled under Macaroni's weight, the two of them slamming into the ground with a metallic commotion like someone smashing a sack full of tin cups against a boulder. Macaroni scrambled to the top of the heap and attacked, tearing into Poner Boner OG's throat. The high combat cleric screamed as the red health bar over his head flashed green, thanks no doubt to the bloodthirsty salamander's new venomous fang ability, and dropped by a quarter. Never one to waste a distraction, Rorik jerked the Kaiken dagger out of his inventory and hacked away the thorny brambles holding him down. The thorn-covered vines were hardy things, thicker than the brambles created by the defensive spell he frequently used back on Traben. They sliced into his skin and bit at his clothing, but the knife, with its superior edge, cut through them with ease. There were just so damned many of the brambles that it was rather slow going. Kaz gave out a powerful war cry from behind Rorik. In spite of his reduced dexterity, Rorik struggled to his knees just in time to see Kaz leap at the Urumis-wielding necro-berserker. The bone-armor-wearing warrior was ready and danced back, absorbing an overhead strike on her skull-shaped shield before lashing out with the Urumis. One of the gleaming whip-like blades slashed a deep cut across Kaz's cheek, nearly taking his eye in the process. But Kaz, totally focused now, didn't even flinch. He simply bared his jagged teeth in a snarl and pushed forward.
For Rorik! For Zira!
He screamed.
And for salt! All the salt!
The necro backpedaled, a look of utter confusion flashing across her face. Her heel caught on a blue-skinned arm crudely cut away from its body. She stumbled and pulled her eyes away from the charging Kaz for only a moment. But a moment was long enough. He leapt forward and scissored her head off with his twin hooked swords, blood spurting out in an arc. Before the body had even hit the floor, Kaz was moving. Using his blades, he sliced away the few remaining brambles clinging to his legs, then lunged at Poner Boner OG, who had just disentangled himself from Macaroni's deadly jaws and stumbled drunkenly to his feet. Seeing the furious Thurser charging him, the high combat cleric shouted in that strange tongue and batted Kaz's hooked swords aside with a backhanded blow from the mace. Blue peals of lightning crackled across the Thurser's skin, sending Kaz flipping head over heels, then slamming down onto the uneven flagstones, his legs and arms sprawled out. But Macaroni was back on his feet, growling and tearing at Poner Boner OG's armored shins, preventing the cleric from closing with the downed Thurser. With no spells remaining, and no scrolls to cast, Rorik checked his filigreed vial. The red was dishearteningly low, but there was no other way to end this. He couldn't hope to survive close-quarters combat while Ponerboner OG had that enchanted mace, and the iron arrows Rorik had would barely touch the cleric's health, and that was assuming they could penetrate his armor, which looked exceedingly unlikely. Ponerboner OG's rose mace whipped out, battering Macaroni's bulbous head with a wet crunch. The elite stone salamander slumped to the floor, red bar flashing a critical warning. Not dead, but unconscious. Macaroni had done little to no real damage, but he'd bought Kaz enough time to gain his feet and shake off the blow that had tossed him through the air. Kaz circled and rushed Ponerboner OG from behind, but the cleric spun and swung the mace at him. Rorik bolted his final modest health potion, returning a much smaller fraction of red to the vial than he had hoped. He was still reeling from the bash to the head, but he lifted the Kaiken dagger and carved an offensive spell into his leathery blue changeling flesh with strokes as swift as he dared. This was even more dangerous than a blood cantrip. A failed offensive spell cast in blood would kill him in unimaginable agony without a doubt. Hells, even if he wrote the spell perfectly, there was a chance that potion wouldn't be enough to stop the spell from draining what was left of his health and killing him anyway. It was a dangerous play. But then every play was a dangerous play when your life was on the line. The enchanted mace's lightning cracked through the throne room once more, and Kaz shouted in pain. Rorik amended his thought. When your life and the lives of your friends were on the line. Rorik stabbed the period at the end of his spell, left hand spasming into a fist as he hit a tendon. Blood flew from the tip of his dagger. He raised a shaky arm and pointed his palm at Ponerboner OG's chest, just as the high combat cleric leveled his thorny mace at Kaz's head, ready to end Rorik's friend. His first friend, perhaps ever. Ponerboner OG opened his mouth to cast some terrible spell, but the words died on his lips as Rorik opened his fist, triggering the spell carved into his arm. When I open my hand, a stone lance shoots from my palm and impales the target through the heart. A stone spear as wide as Rorik's palm ripped from the center of his open hand, tearing a shout of pain up from the pit of his stomach. The lance skewered Ponerboner OG through the sternum and ripped out his back, protruding a full 2 feet, all of it slick with crimson. The high combat cleric's strange words twisted into a shocked grunt of agony as his eyes bulged in a combination of shock and bewilderment.
No, this isn't the way it was supposed to go,
that look said.
I'm Ponerboner OG. I should have wiped the floor with these things.
The rose mace dropped from his hand and clattered to the floor, forgotten. The red in Rorik's health vial plummeted, burned away by the offensive spell until there was barely a drop left. His head spun, vertigo tearing through his body like a whirlwind, and he dropped to all fours, his limbs weak, his skin clammy. For one uncertain moment, his health vial flashed in a syncopated panic with Ponerboner's. Blackness closed in on Rorik's vision until he was staring down at the floor through a tunnel of shadow. This was it, then. He was going to die. And right on the precipice of gaining his 8th level, right on the edge of evolution. Then, Ponerboner OG collapsed backward, shattering the bloody end of the stone lance on impact. The high combat cleric only had the barest hint of life left, but already he was reaching down toward his belt where a magenta potion waited. Not this time, Rorik thought. Perhaps Rorik would die, but not before he sent Ponerboner off for respawn. He'd somehow lost his Kaiken dagger after the stone lance spell had taken effect, and his rapier was long gone. But there, not 3 paces away, was the poison-coated ebony blade Azabek's assassin Reaver had used on Zira. Rorik gritted his teeth and crawled forward using his knobby elbows and knees. Every inch was torture. He glanced at Ponerboner, who now had his hand wrapped around the healing potion. With a pained grunt, Rorik shot forward, grabbing up the blade in a trembling, bloody hand. The high combat cleric slowly raised the glass vial toward his lips, a malicious glint in his eye. I'm gonna win yet. Rorik lunged, flopping onto his belly as he drove the cruel black dagger firmly into Poner Boner OG's exposed neck. He sank the blade to the hilt, using every ounce of strength left in his body, sure that the movement would kill him through sheer agony. Suddenly, the high combat cleric's hand fell away, fingers going limp as the magenta potion rolled across the floor. Click-clack, click-clack. His eyes were glazed over, his mouth open in a shocked O. Rorik felt like laughing, but everything hurt too much. At least it did until golden light burst from his blue skin a moment later, and an ascending chime rang through the throne room. The threatening blackness of unconsciousness receded, and health rushed back into his filigreed vial, the comforting warmth and vitality flowing through his veins and repairing the damage the battle with Poner Boner had done. Level up! Without warning, a halo of indigo energy absorbed the golden light, throwing off crackling, sparking electrical arcs while simultaneously lifting Rorik to his feet. The hot smell of molten slag filled the throne room like a foundry, tingling inside Rorik's nostrils as the halo swelled and darkened, turning the usual gloom into a blue-black darkness. The bass blast of an enormous warhorn shook the walls, dust raining down from overhead, followed by the rolling thunder of kettle drums. Rorik felt his body growing and stretching. The floor got farther and farther away, and the lumpy changeling feet he'd become accustomed to elongated. Black claws sprouted from his toes, and the ones on the tips of his fingers hooked into deadly talons. His arms and legs lengthened and bulged with lean, sinewy muscle as his potbelly flattened and hardened. The bones in his chest and shoulders creaked as they broadened, his shoulder blades moving strangely beneath his flesh, almost like vestigial wing bones. His skin paled from changeling blue to smoke white. Hair sprouted from his bald scalp, hanging around his face in a shaggy black curtain. The music reached a deafening climax, cymbals clashing furiously. Insane arcs of raw opalescent power leapt and danced around the indigo halo, snapping and sizzling in a frenzy. Slowly, the kettle drums and war horn faded. The normal gloomy light returned to the throne room as the cloud of infernal energy drifted away like smoke dissipating on the wind. The smell of cooled metal filled the air. Rorik stood looking down at Kaz. He was half a foot taller than the Thurser now, though Kaz was battered and bloodied from the fight. His onyx eyes were as wide and starry as the night sky.
Evolution,
Kaz whispered reverently. Then the Thurser bounced up onto his toes and shouted,
Rorik is a Yogna! Rorik did it!
He pumped an oversized arm in the air. Rorik flexed his smoke-white fist, closing his fingers over his razor-sharp talons, and watched the bulging veins and flat straps of muscle shift and move in his forearms. He wasn't nearly as large as Azbek, but he certainly wasn't as far removed as he'd been before either. With time and levels, this wiry form would fill out into an infernal monster to rival the Exarch Dungeon Lord. And then, Rorik smiled at the thought, feeling deadly, serrated teeth against the backs of his lips. Instantly, he pulled up his character sheet. Character overview. Name, Rorik. Level, 8. Gender, male. Player class, Error, Warlock. Type, Troll Hybrid, Jotnar. Alignment, Infernali. Current experience, 175. Next level, 5,760. Health, 199. Health regen per 5 seconds, 28.5. Infernali Magic, 470. Magic regen per 5 seconds, 20.25. Attributes. Weapon damage, 84. Attack damage, 213. Base armor, 50. Armor rating, 162. Movement rate, speed of opponent. Critical hit chance, 12%. Critical hit damage, plus 75%. Stats. Strength, 20. Constitution, 29. Dexterity, 31. Intelligence, 40. Worldstone Authority, Greater Vassal, 3 of 3. Worldstone Authority, Lesser Vassal, 49 of 55. Undistributed stat points, 10. Troll Special Skills, Rapid Regen, 60% resistance against normal weapons. Stunning Blow, 10% chance per hit. Infernal Shield, Jotnar Spell. Player Special Skills, Spellcraft, Class Skill, Level 2. Calligraphy, Trade Skill, Level 1. Blacksmithing, Trade Skill, Level 6. Tailoring, Trade Skill, Level 2. Enchanting, Trade Skill, Level 1. The new level also came with a boost to his magic. His spellcraft jumped to level 2, and he earned 2 more level 1 spell slots, another level 2, and for the first time, a level 3 spell slot. Rorik dismissed the grimoire. He could distribute his stat points and tinker with inscribing new spells later. For now, he had work to do. The corpse of Poner Boner OG lay a few feet away, a stark reminder that the heroes were still overrunning the Citadel's first floor, killing the changelings, thursers, bats, and salamanders. Rorik could hear the sounds of combat echoing through the corridors, the clash of metal on metal, the whoomp of triggered firebombs, the clang of the spiked grate slamming against the stone wall.
"Top off your health if you've got any potions left," Rorik told Kaz,
his voice no longer croaking like a bullfrog. It was still deep and gravelly, but there was something strangely compelling about it. Level and deadly, but honeyed, like one might expect a demon to sound.
"We have a raiding party to mop up."
While Kaz knocked back a glowing magenta concoction, Rorik found his rapier near the foot of the dais. One delicate leather-wrapped hand lay open beside the hilt, as if Zira were the one who dropped the slender blade. Rorik picked up the rapier, and with a final glance back at the hooded Reaver's corpse, he headed for the open portcullis. He had survived. He'd won. The only thing remaining was to kill them all, over and over again. As many times as the heroes came back, Rorik would happily earn his nickname, griefing them. Chapter 31, Looming Threats. It took another 20 minutes of bloody combat, moving room by room, hallway by hallway. But finally, Rorik, Kaz, Mac, and the remaining infernal creatures cleared the first floor of the heroes, the last either dead or fleeing for their lives. Rorik's new Jotnar form had certainly not disappointed. His speed, size, and raw strength scattered warriors and magic users before him like chaff in a hard wind. By the time they were done, corpses littered the corridors, strewn across every floor and open space, slumped in corners, burnt to a crisp in dead ends, or impaled on spring-loaded spear traps and spiked grates. Most of the bodies belonged to the invading heroes, but a good number of trolls, reaver bats, and stone salamanders lay dead among them. In the aftermath, Kaz finally shook off his fear of the greatest troll taboo and helped Rorik loot the heroes' corpses. Seeing a Jotnar, one who also happened to be their floor overseer, crouched beside heroes' bodies, emptying their inventories with help from a thurser, seemed to break through to the other trolls who had survived the battle. Slowly, cautiously, as if expecting a bolt of deadly lightning to smite them for violating the natural order, a few tentatively rifled through the heroes' possessions. When no infernal retribution struck those trolls down, the hesitant stragglers loosened up and began to help as well. Rorik instructed the looting trolls to take everything to the smithy except the food and ingredients, which went directly to Kaz's kitchen. The budding army needed to eat, after all. The enchanted armor and high-quality weapons he would distribute to the first-floor trolls, along with a share of the gold, health potions, and other beneficial items. The majority of the spoils, however, Rorik would dismantle for their components and forge into better weapons and armor. The process would also allow him to level up his smithing and tailoring skills, which in turn would allow him to craft even better, deadlier items. With everyone pitching in, Rourke and Kaz were freed up to go through and mark the positions of the heroes' bodies on a parchment map and their time until respawn. In 3 hours, the griefing would begin in earnest. When the looting was finished and all the corpses had been marked and all the traps reset, Kaz headed for the kitchen to revel in his new ingredients.
"Kaz will prepare a feast to celebrate our victory," the Thurser declared proudly, puffing his chest up as he spoke. "Cooking with Groy Feliri said that a feast is a meal where more than one food is consumed. Can Rorik imagine stew and skewers?"
Rorik chuckled.
"I look forward to it, mate."
He glanced around the antechamber at the number of trolls and other infernal creatures needing to be fed in this room alone. He rubbed at his chin as he ran numbers in his head. Currently, he and Kaz were the only trolls in the dungeon with proper trade skills, and that simply wouldn't do at all. Especially not when they expanded into the lower levels and took new troops on. Kaz could never cook for the whole dungeon, not alone. Nor would Rorik be able to do the blacksmithing or weapons training for so many creatures. He would have to do something about that.
"Before you head off," Rorik said, "why don't you ask around to see if you can't find someone interested in learning how to cook as well? They won't be able to prepare food properly until we get access to more skill books or a trainer, but they can run errands for you, ease your workload a bit."
While Kaz bustled off to find an apprentice chef, Rorik set up a rotating force of changelings in the Bailey to watch for returning heroes and new threats. They would draw the invaders inside, kill them and loot the corpses, then trade off with the next group. A clockwork griefing machine. In the meantime, Rorik went to the smithy to sort through the spoils. Ponerboner OG's guild had left behind a handsome assortment of gold, gemstones, potions, and scrolls, but the weapons and armor were mostly of a lower quality than Rorik could smith. He set to work sorting the scrap items into one pile and the enchanted and high-level items into another. An hour into it, the keep pile contained only 3 enchanted weapons, a stiletto, a kukri, and an oak staff. One set of iron gauntlets of minor endurance and a pair of flawless glass boots which weren't enchanted but were beyond his current smithing skill. The assortment of gemstones and gold the heroes had left behind this round made Rorik eager to see what they would drop upon their next death. He thought of Ponerboner's rose-headed mace. Now that was an item he was eager to inspect. A little too eager, maybe. If he weren't griefing for the levels, he knew that twinge of greed could easily get out of hand and shift his priorities. As it was, his infernal magic couldn't even touch portal spells until he'd reached level 36, which meant he needed to outmatch Azabek before he could open a way home. Deconstructing all the scrap weapons and armor and forging new gear would only take Rorik so far toward a new level. The griefing would have to continue for the lower-level trolls as well as himself. Then there were more trade skill books to find and read, so another trip to the marketplace was in order. He was particularly keen to raise his calligraphy and enchanting skills. If he could find a way to bring these new magics back to Traven, then the fight to depose the tyrant king would change drastically. A moving shadow in the corner of Rorik's eye caught his attention. Zira slipped into the smithy and boosted herself up onto the workbench with cat-like grace.
"Congrats on the victory, Griefer,"
she said, a playful lilt to her voice. Her leather-wrapped hand reached into her hood, and Rorik got the impression she was cupping her chin as she studied him in the fiery light of the forge.
"And the evolution. Jotnar suits you."
Rorik tossed another iron longsword onto the pile of scrap weapons.
"Neither would have been possible if you hadn't absorbed that contact poison."
"You were the only one who could operate the Overseer's throne. Besides, I've already evolved. Death can't knock me back further than level 6.
"All the same, I appreciate it,"
Rorik said, staring into the shadowy hood and hoping he was meeting her gaze.
"I'm a paranoid assassin,"
Zira responded with a careless shrug.
"I was only doing my job."
She canted her head to one side.
And unless I'm mistaken, isn't that exactly why you wanted me in your honor guard, conniving Jotnar?
Indeed it is.
And may I say, that's the best conniving I've done in recent memory.
Rorik scooped the final handful of daggers onto the scrap pile and straightened up to his new full height.
Come on. Kaz is preparing a victory feast.
He offered her a hand down.
Try not to poison anyone if you can.
Rorik the skittish.
Her voice carried the hint of a mischievous smile.
Don't worry. I keep spare antidotes in my inventory.
Lord Overseer!
A level 3 changeling sprinted into the smithy, a look of bewildered concern twisting his leathery blue features.
Lord Overseer, there is an intruder.
I'm not Lord anything,
Rorik said, frowning.
Just Rorik. And if there's a hero invading, then kill him and mark the body for griefing, same as the rest.
No, this one is different. Strange,
the changeling said, dancing with impatience.
The chef Kaz said to fetch the Lord over... to fetch the Rorik... Please, come.
The changeling's eyes bulged, and he danced from foot to foot, nearly quivering with barely contained nerves. Whatever was different about this intruder, it had clearly rattled the poor fellow. Rorik's lips pursed into a thin line as he followed the changeling out into the stone corridor. He didn't hear Zira's footsteps, but when he looked over his shoulder, he found the hooded reaver stalking along behind him like a shadow. Kaz was already at the foot of the staircase when they reached the antechamber, arguing with a strange gold-fleshed creature with the speckled brown and white wings of a Kanahiri falcon, its human body wrapped in soft brown leathers crisscrossed with buckles and straps. Rorik faltered, uncertain. This beast was unlike any of the races of heroes in Hearthworld, but the soft light shining from its golden flesh gave it away as divine. Another chimera? Perhaps the divine equivalent to a troll? Slowly, Rorik resumed his pace. As they approached, the creature's piercing golden eyes shifted from Kaz to Rorik, and a smile stretched across its shining face. Rorik was on the verge of asking what the hells was going on when he saw the nameplate floating above the creature's head, situated between the feathered arches of its speckled wings. His heart seemed to seize in his chest, a cold sweat suddenly blooming along his brow. Lowen. Before the bastard could utter a single word, Rorik jerked the bow of the fleet-fingered hunter from his inventory and loosed arrows, one after another, at the Tyrant King's right-hand mage. Lowen chuckled and flicked a slim olive wand. The arrows burnt to ash mid-flight.
"Don't you ever know when you're outclassed, Graf?"
Lowen asked, his speckled brown wings stretched wide, beating at the air and lifting him free of the ground. As Lowen rose into the air, he'd offered Rorik a cruel smile, then turned that olive wand on Kaz. Rorik moved in a blink, bolting toward the thurser, slamming his shoulder into Kaz's chest. As a changeling, Rorik never would have been able to so much as budge Kaz. But as a Jotnar, he easily tackled him out of the way, both hitting the ground several feet away. The flagstones where Kaz had been standing only a moment before exploded, throwing shrapnel in every direction. A sliver of red drained from Rorik's filigreed vial as jagged stone fragments cut into his exposed flesh and peppered his leather armor.
"Still overdoing it, mate,"
Rorik growled over the rain of grit as he rolled to his feet, coming up in a wary crouch.
"Give me the World Stone," Lowen shouted down at him, a glower etched into the lines of his inhuman face.
"You're welcome to come down here and take it,"
Rorik said, trading his bow for the Kaiken dagger. All of his spell slots were still in cooldown, but his health vial was nearly full. With a steady hand, he slashed the letters of the spell he'd killed Poner Boner OG with into his forearm once more. With a snarl, he thrust his arm out, palm up, fingers splayed back, unleashing a stone lance at the feathery interloper. The shaft of deadly rock screamed through the air, while over half the red bled from Rorik's filigreed vial. Lowen darted aside easily, laughing as the stone lance shattered against the ceiling where he'd been. But his mirth was cut short as a trio of arrows slammed into the winged bastard, two from his right and one from his left. The changelings and thursers spread around the antechamber, reloaded. A pair of flat throwing knives sprouted from Loen's thigh and hip like magic an instant later. More sailed past Rorik on all sides, courtesy of Zira. The troll archers fired again, sending a cloud of arrows flying at Loen. Rorik switched back to the bow and joined them, knocking an arrow, pulling the string taut and loosing it in a single fluid motion. A particularly nasty-looking spear with a barbed head, thrown by Kaz, impaled Loen's right wing. Macaroni appeared on the ceiling just over the mage's head and dropped with a hiss. The little beast, though not so little now, landed with a meaty thump, his feet and claws, scrambling for purchase while his jagged needle teeth latched on to Loen's feathery wing joint. The Tyrant King's lackey promptly tumbled from the air, his single wing unable to support the combined weight of himself and the elite salamander. The pair of them landed clumsily at the top of the stone staircase. Rorik was already carving another spell into the unmarked space on the back of his forearm.
"Mac, move!"
he shouted, voice ringing off the high stone ceiling. The salamander scrambled off the winged mage and down the side of the crumbling stairs with a speed belying his fat padded form. Sensing the danger, Loen stumbled to his feet as well and ran for the door, his injured wing dragging behind him.
"This isn't over, Graf!" the mage snarled. "Marek will have his pendant back. You'll suffer until you beg to die like that dog that you are. You think you're clever, but we will own this land just as we own all of Traben and Taro beyond that. You can't escape. You belong to us."
Rorik aimed his palm toward Loen's knees and triggered his second spell, firing the bolas. The second offensive spell drained nearly all of Rorik's remaining health, dropping him to his hands and knees on the shattered stone floor in a wave of pain and encroaching darkness, but he managed to hold off unconsciousness. The bolas sang through the air at the mage, but Loen darted through the door, bashing his battered wing gracelessly against the side as he disappeared out into the night. There was a clatter of steel on stone as the bolas slammed uselessly against the wall a split second behind him.
"Damn it all,"
Rorik cursed under his breath. Nausea roiled in his gut, no small part of it due to letting that horse's ass of a mage escape. In the corner of his eye, his health vial flashed critical. A good slap across the face would likely kill him. Kaz's huge hands gingerly lifted Rorik up and set him on his feet.
"Kaz will take a party of mighty thirsters and catch him, Rorik."
"Don't waste your time,"
Zira said before Rorik could respond. She stood in the shadowy doorway, looking out into the darkness.
"He's long gone."
"He'll be back,"
Rorik said, fingering the Worldstone's chain.
"Probably with reinforcements. Does anyone know what he was?"
The trolls seemed to shift uncomfortably. It was Zira who finally broke the silence.
"He was a Malaika herald, a rare chimera from the Great War. He will be part of a dungeon not so different than our own."
Troubling. Extremely troubling. Macaroni appeared at Rorik's side, providing something solid to steady him on his feet. Rorik scratched the salamander's head absently as he glanced around the antechamber at the dozen trolls who had come to his aid just moments before. They must have been changing watch when the mage barged in. Loen was too smart to assume they were the full force of the Citadel. He wouldn't come back before he felt certain he could kill them all and take the pendant. Rorik couldn't help wonder what sort of forces a Malaika herald could bring to bear.
"Is the feast ready, Kaz?"
Rorik asked.
Yes,
the Thurser stuttered.
"Kaz was on his way to tell Rorik the food was served when he found this intruder demanding to speak to Rorik."
Kaz glared at the place where Loen had disappeared, the black plumage in his antlered headdress trembling with anger.
"Come on, then."
Rorik raised his voice until the whole room could hear him clearly and affected a lighthearted tone he hoped would be contagious.
"We fought hard and won a victory over the Guild of Heroes who sought to demolish us. We will deal with Loen when the time comes. But for now, it is high time we celebrate."
The play worked. Slowly, the trolls lowered their weapons and mumbled their agreement. The guards headed up to the bailey to watch for threats with promises of rotation as soon as another group had finished eating. Kaz led the way into the great hall, detailing for Rorik and anyone who would listen every food he'd made. Max slithered along beside Rorik, growling once when Zira sidled up to them, but the bloodthirsty salamander relaxed when she only slipped Rorik a modest health potion. The great hall was already full of hungry trolls eating the fare Kaz had laid out. Three changelings in aprons, Kaz's new apprentices apparently, bustled around refilling flagons of ale, plates of skewers, stacks of bread, and massive pots of stew. Reaver bats swooped down at intervals, and stone salamander tongues shot out to steal morsels off the table, much to the delight of the trolls. Soon, they'd made a game of tossing food to the creatures overhead. Even Zira tossed the occasional scrap up. Rorik ate and joked and played the part of carefree leader, though his mind was on Azabek the Cruel breathing down his neck, and Loen the winged horse's ass threatening him from the front. If Loen had found his way here, it was likely only a matter of time until Marek did as well. When that all came to a head, it would be as ugly as a rot beast's back end. They would need loads of preparation just to survive it. Zira slipped up beside him and placed a hand on his forearm. Instead of gouging him with poisoned spikes, she simply gave his arm a light squeeze. Rorik offered her a grateful smile, then nodded. He would deal with tomorrow's troubles tomorrow. For now, though, the infernal creatures of the Citadel's first floor needed to celebrate while they could, especially since they might not have another chance. This has been Rogue Dungeon, a lit RPG adventure, book one in the Rogue Dungeon series, written by James Hunter and Eden Hudson, narrated by Nick Podell. Copyright 2018 by James Hunter, Eden Hudson, and Shadow Alley Press. Production copyright 2018 by James Hunter, Eden Hudson, and Shadow Alley Press.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.